So I will talk as fast as an auctioneer, and I'll just say that this...
Could you introduce yourself? I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I'm Martin Donahoe. I'm a physician. I practice internal medicine. I teach courses in English, community health, and women's studies at Portland State, and I work for a food safety organization. And I spend a lot of my time on my website, which is publichealthandsocialjustice.org, where you'll find this presentation and about 75 others. It's open access PowerPoint lectures that I take from other faculty, ideally in the long run, but most of which are mine at this point, on a variety of topics from environmental health to women's rights to medical humanities. So this is phsj.org, and it's on the last slide too, my contact information. So this is not my area of expertise. It's merely something that I became interested in through my social justice in public health course that I teach. And all of the information from this talk is also in Human Rights Quarterly, the I think second issue of this year, which you can also find on the website. So we're going to talk about diamonds. Diamonds have a long history, both in the movies and elsewhere. They've long been seen as symbols of wealth, power, love, and even magic, and were actually created from carbon. They are just simply carbon under extreme temperature and pressure. Diamonds have a number of industrial uses. They're very hard, hardest substance known, so they're used in cutting. They also are used in other manufacturing processes, and they were discovered, and I'll put that in quotation marks, in India around 800 BC, but then rediscovered when commercial mining began in South Africa in 1866. Today, the major mining countries are Botswana, Australia, Zaire, Russia, and South Africa. And the major trading centers are Antwerp, Tel Aviv, New York, and Mumbai. Most of the cutting of the diamonds is done in Tel Aviv, Mumbai, New York, and Thailand. But the major retail markets are the U.S., which is where about half of all diamond jewelry is sold. And then number two is Japan. These are the conditions at a typical diamond mine. I like to use photos by Sebastio Salgado, James Nachtway, and others in my presentation, so you'll see a few of those. This is a mine in Australia, and these are the conditions on the mound for the artisanal miners. The diamond engagement ring was first introduced when Archduke Ferdinand gave one to Mary of Burgundy in 1477, but did not catch on until much later, and was really spurred by a joint venture between De Beers and a PR firm. The De Beers Mining Company was founded by Cecil Rhodes in 1888, and this quote from Rhodes will give you an idea of the philosophy behind the subjugation of Africa and much of its mineral wealth. He's quite clear about it. So in 1939, De Beers hired N.W. Ayer and Company to make diamonds, quote, a psychological necessity. The larger the diamond, the greater the expression of love. And by 1942, just 3 years later, 80% of engagements in the U.S. were consecrated with diamond rings, and this figure is still true today. Diamonds have also been promoted by having stars wear them, particular to the Oscars, which began in 1942. And in 1947, the slogan, a diamond is forever, was born. And jewelers were instructed to tell, or I might argue pressure, men who buy 90% of all diamonds to spend at least 2 months' salary on the ring. Later came anniversary diamonds, and then pet jewelry, including the diamond dog collar and others that you can find online. In 1999, Advertising Age magazine declared that the Diamond is Forever slogan was the most effective of the 20th century, recognized by 90% of Americans. But once you saturate the engagement market, you have to look elsewhere. So in 2003, De Beers began to market diamonds to single women with the slogan, your left hand says we, your right hand says me. So, in terms of profits and losses, there are 120 million carats of rough diamonds mined for jewelry each year, weighing about 24 tons and worth approximately $12 billion. A 1 carat diamond retails for anywhere from $350 to $750 in the United States. These diamonds all cost less than $2 billion to extract, but ultimately will sell for over $50 billion. Most of the workers in the diamond industry are desperately poor, but hoping to strike it rich in what's called the casino economy. They work under dangerous, unhealthy conditions, often for a pittance. They suffer from a number of health concerns, including cancer, leukemia, high rates of silicosis, and even asbestos, since diamonds are often embedded in asbestos. The ones who are doing the mining don't make much money. It's rare that anyone will make it in this casino economy, but the middlemen and the diamond dealers and the exporters earn the lion's share of the profits. Most of these are foreign nationals, and very little profit is reinvested in local communities. Diamonds have also been linked to human rights abuses, conflict, and terrorism. For example, one way is that mine owners will violate indigenous peoples' rights via destruction of their traditional homelands and forced resettlements. Mining also hastens environmental degradation of ecosystems that are already under severe stress. Diamonds have been used by rebel armies in Angola, Sierra Leone, Liberia, and the DCR to pay for weapons to fight brutal wars, with the death toll over the last 10 to 15 years being almost 4 million. These wars frequently involve child soldiers, forced labor, sex slavery, with its attendant transmission of HIV, and the terrorizing of local populations, as occurred in Sierra Leone when the Revolutionary United Front killed and mutilated thousands of men, women, and children via amputations with machetes and axes in the 1990s. And this is just one example. Diamonds have also been linked to terrorism. Both Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah have used diamond monies to fund terror cells, to hide money targeted by financial institutions, to launder profits from criminal activity, and to convert cash into a commodity that is easily transportable across borders and tends to hold its value. Now, according to the U.S. State Department, in the U.S., smuggled and illicit diamonds amount to as much as 10 to 15% of jewelry sold worldwide. If you look at Global Exchange, which does a lot of work on this, they'll say 20%, and some of the other human rights groups say it's more like 20%. This is a sarcastic response, an Adbusters-type response to diamond advertising, and we'll see one more of these in a moment. So what are the alternatives? What are the solutions? First, one could consider an alternative to the traditional engagement ring, and these range from cubic zirconium to synthetic and cultured diamonds, which are becoming more easy to create, more practical, and more acceptable, as well as more affordable over the last few years. And then finally, if you really want to, you can contact Life Gems and use the cremated remains of a loved one to create your diamond ring. I doubt many people will try that, but certainly the synthetic and cultured diamonds are becoming popular, although I would argue that simply to wear a diamond is to promote the diamond industry. I hope I'm making people uncomfortable, at least to some degree. I also give a talk like this on gold. So another alternative is to purchase only verifiable conflict-free diamonds. So go beyond cut, color, and clarity, and also ask about conflict. Query jewelers. We can educate consumers as public health advocates. We can even undertake boycotts, protests, and finally shareholder activism. Now, the diamond industry supports primarily self-regulation, although they're starting to come around to the Kimberley process, which is a certification scheme that requires rough controls to assure conflict-free diamonds. Individual governments license miners, and diamond traders utilize sealed and tamper-proof containers, as well as an integrated computer database in both the importing and exporting countries, which is designed to catch discrepancies. As part of this scheme, importing countries are supposed to enact strict customs regulations backed by thorough inspections and harsh penalties. And the diamond industry, as I said, has come around, as well as the UN General Assembly, which now supports this. And 71 countries are currently involved. Unfortunately, not all the countries involved in producing conflict diamonds. And many countries have been quite slow in enacting the controls that are required under the Kimberley process. The U.S.'s own version of or the way the U.S. has applied the Kimberley process is through the Clean Diamond Act of 2003, which mandates U.S. participation in the Kimberley process. Fines range from $10,000 to $50,000. There are some criminal penalties, and seized contraband is supposed to be earmarked for victims of armed conflict. But again, in the U.S. as elsewhere, implementation has been slow. These are the results of an Amnesty International Global Witness, and I said Global Exchange are the gold folks, Global Witness, I'm sorry, are the diamond folks, for those of you who might be from Global Witness here, conducted a 2006-2007 survey of jewelers in the United States. Only half of companies responded, which tells you something, especially coming from a prestigious organization like Amnesty International. And only 38% of those companies that responded were able to provide any meaningful account of their policies. The ones that had the most comprehensive policies were Helzberg, Sterling, and Tiffany & Company. So again, from Adbusters. And then another form of safe diamonds that I include, maybe. I don't know, for if you've listened to Neil Diamond, then you may agree with me that it's not necessarily safe. So then finally, one can consider alternative gifts of tokens or tokens of affection, anything from homemade gifts to eco-jewelry, where the money's reinvested in local communities, gifts to charities, and whatnot. So to conclude, diamonds as symbols of love are actually just cultural constructs that are perpetuated in part, or in large part, by the persuasive marketing efforts of multinational corporations, and their production involves significant damage to local communities and to the environment, and harms men, women, and children. Their production supports human rights abuses, armed conflict, and even terrorism. And symbols of love should not be constant reminders of death and destruction. So I would ask that people consider alternative symbols and work for social justice and change in this area. And this is the reference. That's the website. There's this PowerPoint as well as about three or four others on flowers, diamonds, and gold. And now I got to go give the talk on flowers. So I'm going to run. I'll stay with my cards on the table here. Feel free to call or look on the website. And I'd be happy to discuss the issue more with you, but I can't let anybody do it.
Okay, well, thanks.